Welcome to the Inspired Word of God. I'm Marcia. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 21. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. A treasure is wealth, riches, usually in the form of money, precious metals, or gems. It is a thing or person that is highly prized or valued, rare or costly. The Lord said not to lay our treasures here on earth. He speaks of material possessions, the money, the jewels, silver, gold, houses, clothes, gadgets, property, cars. The list goes on and on, because in our present day, we have increased technology and there are more possessions to add to this list. In the ancient days, they had livestock, land, a dwelling, gold, silver, and transportation of that day. In our time, there are planes, boats, mansions, islands, art, jewelry, gold, expensive electronics, and other elements with a high price tag on them. Whether ancient day or present day, wealth is those things that one possesses. It's the desire and passion for these treasures that often reveal the true nature of the heart and the character of a person. Zephaniah 1:18 says, neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath, but the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy. For he shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land. This scripture is dealing with Judah, who was facing a coming judgment from God because among their great sins was idolatry. But he was letting them know that their wealth of silver and gold would not save them from his wrath. No wealth will steal you away in the middle of the night to avoid the wrath of God if he is coming for you. He knows your thoughts, he sees where you are, and there will be no escape. Jesus encountered a vast number of people on his journey. He came upon a man who approached him one day. This man asked Jesus to tell his brother to share his inheritance with him. In this conversation, Jesus shared a parable with this individual. A parable is a short allegorical story designed to illustrate or teach some truth, a religious principle, or a moral lesson. Luke 12:13-21. Then someone called from the crowd, "Teacher, please tell my brother to divide our father's estate with me." Jesus replied, "Friend, who made me a judge over you to decide such things as that?" Then he said, "Beware, guard against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by how much you own." Then he told him a story. A rich man had a fertile farm that produced fine crops. He said to himself, "What should I do? I don't have room for all my crops." Then he said, "I know. I'll tear down my barns and build a bigger one. Then I'll have room enough to store all my wheat and other goods. And I'll sit back and say to myself, 'My friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. Now take it easy, eat, drink, and be merry.'" The god said to him, "You fool, you will die this very night. Then who will get everything you worked for?" Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, but not have a rich relationship with God. You would be surprised the confidence that some people have in wealth. It is a sad awakening when God calls their soul out of this world because their journey is up. Their time here on earth was spent basking in their wealth instead of building a relationship with God. Matthew chapter 19, verse 16 through 24. "And behold, one came and said unto him, 'Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?' And he said unto him, 'Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments.' He said unto him, 'Which?' Jesus said, 'Thou shalt not do murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.' The young man said unto him, 'All these things I have kept from my youth up. What lack I yet?' Jesus said unto him, 'If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me.' But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus said unto him, 'Disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven.'" Two things that I need to clarify. The first one is, when the Lord mentioned it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, it's a reference to a small opening. And he's saying that a camel would go through that small opening easier than man will enter into heaven. Now, the Lord making this reference to the eye of the needle, he's making that reference for a reason. Whether or not there is a gate or an opening in present day called the eye of the needle, I personally do not know that. But I do know that the Lord made reference to this small opening called the eye of the needle in his scripture. I also read the King James Version for Matthew 19:16 through 24. Because the other versions that I was using left the word God out. The part where Jesus asked the young man, "Why do you call me good? There's only one good, and that is God." That is in the King James Version, but it was left out of the other versions, the word God. It just said, "Why do you call me good?" But if you want to know how to enter in, and it's important that we know what Jesus said related to God, So I read that version for you in this particular passage. Though this young man seemed to be living his life according to God's commandments, his heart was not in the right place, and Jesus knew that. Jesus knew his wealth or his love of money stood in the way. The young man walked away sorrowful because he had great wealth. If he didn't have love for the money, he would have been able to give it up and sell it as the Lord asked him to and follow Jesus. But it's the love of money that had him walking away in sorrow because he was not willing to part with it. If the Lord impressed upon us to sell our possessions, could we do that? Would we do that? Some of us would, and some of us wouldn't. Some of us would question, did I hear that? He didn't tell me to do that. Surely not. We would come up with every excuse possible to hang on and walk away with that wealth. This person loved his wealth more than saving his eternal soul. I can't help wondering if some people grasp the understanding about their soul and giving more care in this life than saving themselves eternally. Mark 8:36-37 says, "What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Something to think about. Here's more food for thought. When Jesus was speaking to this young man, and he told him, if you want to be perfect, go and sell all of your possessions and give to the poor. Understand that perfection in God's eyes looks totally different than how it looks in man's eyes. We will never be perfect or look perfect in the sight of man or society, but we can be perfect and look perfect in the sight of God. Because when we are obedient to His word and His instructions that He has given us for life down here, when we don't allow things and people to hamper our walk with Him, He sees the life that we strive to live for Him, and He sees perfection. The young man told him all the things that he did right according to God's commandments. And Jesus said, if you want to be perfect, sell your possessions. Because Jesus saw the love of money that this man had for his possessions, his wealth. And if he wanted to be perfect in the sight of God, he could have been if he sold his possessions. If he let go of that love that he had for money. Society is not living by God's commandments or his mandates. They have their own standards that they live by. In the sight of God, when we live by his standards, we can be perfect in his sight. Wealth down here doesn't always have good things attached to it. 1 Timothy 6:17 says, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. When you place your trust in God and experience Him supernaturally, it is an experience that no wealth on earth can purchase. We tend to want everything to be tangible. We need to see and feel things before we accept the reality of it. There are realities spiritually that can manifest, But it still comes back to faith. There is no magic wand. There is, however, faith, trusting that God can, if He wills it to be so. Have you ever thought about what it will be like to be an eternal resident in heaven, where there is no more sorrow, pain, or crying? For each soul that makes it into God's kingdom, that in itself is a treasure. 1 Peter 1:3-4 tells us, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fade not away, reserved in heaven for you." We are God's creation, and He gave us hope by Jesus' death and resurrection. Jesus rose up, undefeated by death. We have this hope, His inheritance, to us. Proverbs 4:23, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." When we are diligent, we are steady and careful, and we take care. We can't go wrong with the care of our heart as long as we live by the Word of God. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. My closing prayer. Lord, I pray for more of us to focus on the unseen, the eternal. Let the riches of this world not lay hold on a person's heart. Let them see the deception this wealth offers. It says in 2 Corinthians 4:18, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Let us always be aware that the issues of life that flow from our heart need great care. We do not have to allow our heart to become corrupt. Let our focus be on the unseen, those things eternal. In the name of Jesus, amen.